Crusade Channel News. News you can trust because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Celeste Youngblood.
Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Youngblood coming to you from the Veritas Radio Network News Bureau with your headlines at this hour on this Monday, September 18th, 2017. The plight of the Rohingya continues, then I'll have your stock market report and Saint of the Day. More details have come out about the death of an LSU fraternity pledge, and I'll have an update on the fight against ISIS. The Independent is reporting today that thousands of Rohingya Muslims are begging for a safe passage out of their villages, which have been cut off by Burmese Buddhists. The Rohingya say they are quickly running out of food and that they are being threatened by the local Buddhists that if they do not leave the Rakhine state, their houses will be burned down. An unnamed Rohingya told Reuters that the Rakhine Buddhists entered their village and said, quote, "Leave or we will kill you all." At least 430,000 Rohingya have made their way into Bangladesh with tales of murder, rapes, and village burnings in their homeland. Tim Monk Sway, Secretary of the state's government, was unaware of any pleas for safe passage and claims that there was no reason that the Rohingya could not safely pass through southern Rathadong, where the villages sit. He added, quote, "There is nothing to be concerned about." Katina Adams, spokeswoman for the U.S. State Department's East Asia Bureau, said, quote, "Tens of thousands of people reportedly lack adequate food, water, and shelter in northern Rakhine State." And she called on Burmese security forces to, quote, "act in accordance with the rule of law and to stop the violence and displacement suffered by individuals from all communities." Press TV reports that in Bangladesh, thousands of Rohingya supporters from various Islamic groups marched in a massive rally to protest Myanmar's violent crackdown on the Rohingya population. First Post reports that President Narendra Modi's government in India is calling the Rohingya influx into India a, quote, "threat to national security," and India is vowing to deport them, pressuring Myanmar to take them back. Indian External Affairs Minister Sushma Swaraj is expected to call upon the United Nations in their General Assembly to take action on the crisis, while also requesting Myanmar to take back the persecuted population. In Bangladesh, meanwhile, The Independent reports that three Rohingya were killed when chaos erupted amid handouts of food and clothing at a refugee camp. A woman and two children were killed in the stampede as the supplies were thrown from relief trucks. The United Nations reports that it, along with the World Health Organization, has begun a 7-day vaccination campaign among the Rohingya in Bangladesh to inoculate some 150,000 children against measles, rubella, and polio. Edward Bagbede, head of UNICEF in Bangladesh, says, quote, "Measles is a very infectious and dangerous disease during emergencies, especially for children who are already weak and malnourished." The two organizations are also working to improve Bangladeshi healthcare facilities, along with disease surveillance, sanitation, and hygiene. Truly a tragic situation. And now it's time for your stock market report. Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 65 points, and as of right now, is up 78 points at 22,347. On Friday, the NASDAQ closed up 19 points and as of right now is up 27 points at 6,476. On Friday, the S&P 500 closed up 5 points and as of right now is up 6 points at 2,506. Crude oil is currently down 23 cents at $49.66 a barrel. In the world markets, the Japanese Nikkei closed up 103 points and the Hong Kong Hang Seng closed up 357. The London FTSE 100 closed up 38 points, and the DAX in Germany closed up 41. Today's quote of the day comes from St. Joseph of Cupertino. "When a man trains himself to acts of virtue, it is with the help of grace from God, from whom all good things come, that he does this. The will is what man has as his unique possession." Today in Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, we honor St. Joseph of Cupertino. Giuseppe Maria d'Essa was born in 1603 in a stable, his family having been reduced to poverty as a result of the debt left behind by his father, who died prematurely before his birth. He experienced ecstatic visions in his childhood, but had to battle his temper greatly. Rejected by the conventual Franciscans at 17 due to his lack of education, he was accepted by the Capuchin friars as a lay brother. His ecstasies prohibited him from executing his duties, and he was released, only to return to the conventual Franciscans again to work in the stables. Impressed with his devotion and simplicity of life, they admitted him to the order in 1625, and he was ordained in 1628. His ecstasies only increased, and he began levitating during Mass and the Divine Office. This resulted in his being viewed as disruptive, and he was confined to his cell, forbidden from participating in communal prayer. Joseph was sent to different communities for observation over the next 18 years, and he spent the last 6 years of his life back home with the conventual Franciscans before his death in 1663. He is the patron of astronauts, aviation, those with mental handicaps, students, and test takers. St. Joseph of Cupertino, pray for us. ABC News reported today on Good Morning America that new details have come out about the potential hazing death of Max Gruver. Gruver was an aspiring sports writer and a pledge at the Phi Delta Theta fraternity who died last week after being brought to the hospital from the fraternity house Thursday night by ambulance. An autopsy conducted on Friday revealed that he had elevated blood alcohol levels and also the presence of THC in his blood, indicating the use of marijuana. All Greek activities have been suspended on campus. Here is Ernie Ballard from LSU Media Relations.
We're going to look at the evidence, what it shows, what took place that evening, what took place that morning, and they're still in the gathering phase of that and then analyzing that information.
This is not the first substance abuse incident that Phi Delta Theta has had to deal with. Phi Delta Theta fraternity CEO Robert Biggs told ABC News that they, quote, hold our chapters accountable to our anti-hazing philosophy, and that over the past decade, 19 chapters have been removed due to risk management violations. Doug Feerberg, anti-hazing attorney.
The root of the problem is that Phi Delta Theta, like most fraternities, has risk management policies. But all of those policies are implemented by 19 and 20-year-olds who are untrained and ill-equipped to manage these risks that have taken place for decades.
A memorial mass will be celebrated this evening on the LSU campus at Christ the King Catholic Church, and a vigil will follow immediately thereafter. Turning to the fight against ISIS, Iraqi news is reporting that fighter jets from the U.S.-led coalition in Anbar struck the town of Qaim and eliminated the famous ISIS killer, Syrian Hussein Ahmed al-Abdullah, also known as Abu Hamza al-Ansari. Al-Ansari was an outstanding security commander within ISIS and was responsible for many executions. Thousands of civilians have been held in the towns of Qaim, Ana, and Rawa, which lies on the Syrian border. Security reinforcements had been sent near those three towns in preparation for the operation to take them back. Looking at the ISIS fight in Syria, The Independent reports that Syrian civilians who have fled Raqqa are taking up arms and returning to fight ISIS. Amar al-Alil was a 26-year-old part-time construction worker when the Syrian revolution began 6 years ago. Now he resides in an internally displaced persons camp, or IDP camp, in Ain Issa, 45 miles north of Raqqa. He joined the Syrian Democratic Forces and is now on a mission to take back his country from the grip of the Islamic State. He said, quote, I joined the SDF because I felt like I had to. ISIS stole 3 years of our lives. I'm fighting for freedom for the others and for revenge. There are 9,000 people in their relatively new refugee camp, and the de facto leader of the camp, whose name is Jalal, said, quote, we are encouraging people to join the SDF. When the fighting is done, we are the ones who will have to rebuild it, after all. The standard wage for Syrian Defense Force members is $200 a month, which is considerable in a nation whose currency has lost 86% of its value. About 100 civilians have signed up for the SDF since June. Just before The Independent had their interview at the camp, refugees from the recently embattled Deir Ezzor arrived, and around 20 young Arab men immediately requested to join the SDF. For the refugees, however, this does not come without further sacrifice, for after having lost everything and fled to save their lives, they now face losing their family members in the fighting. Abu Saleh joined the battle for Raqqa 3 months ago and is fighting in the front lines. His son, 17-year-old Abu, was killed by a sniper in July. His big sister Shamsa said, yes, his loss is painful, especially after we were all reunited when some of us managed to leave the city. But he died helping others. We are very proud of that, and his memory will be cherished. In this Celestial Musings, I've always been a fan of farmers markets. There's something special about knowing exactly who is growing the food you eat. Oftentimes, it's somebody who, beyond wanting to make a living, shares your concerns about the food supply and has a passion for serving their local community. The Washington Times yesterday highlighted the hard work that many farmers markets have put in to help low-income families access healthier foods and learn how to incorporate them into their diets. Sadly, as income decreases, the temptation and tendency to turn to convenience and processed foods increases. And these are the last foods that the disadvantaged among us need. Local farmers markets are trying to combat this by participating in government food assistance programs, accepting WIC, SNAP, which we used to call food stamps, and senior supplement checks. To do this means to accept a burdensome amount of paperwork and government intrusion. The markets are also running programs to help the poor learn how to increasingly incorporate fruits and vegetables into their diets and to come up with recipe ideas and healthy eating plans. To me, this is community the way it should be. Your contributions are welcome. If you have a news tip, send it to news@veritasradionetwork.com. Stay tuned now for the True Money Show. Celeste Youngblood signing off for the Crusade Channel. Serving you, serving truth.
You've just heard Crusade Channel News. Live on your News Talk and Saints leader, the Crusade Channel. And did you know that all newscasts are available as podcasts on CrusadeChannel.com and on our free app available in the Google Play and iTunes stores? Surprised?
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Crusade Channel News. News you can trust. Because the truth can be trusted.